Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Stop the pick and roll. Bad offense.
Man, it's only two people.
Good morning from New York City.
Good morning, Han.
And Monica McNutt is here with us, but look who's back in the studio with us after a little vacay.
Dropping knowledge on pick and roll, apparently.
Yeah, already. Dropping knowledge since 5 a.m. in the studio. Keyshawn Johnson.
What's happening? I was wondering, how can you not stop the pick and roll? It's been around since basketball's been around.
The only thing that stops the pick and roll, Monica, is bad offense.
I'd like to suggest a podcast called The Pre-Show. The Pre-Show.
Paywall, you don't want that.
Yeah, that's
the difference.
By the way, are you going to sign that book for me or not?
No, I'm not signing the book.
So I brought in Keyshawn's first book, and I enjoyed it. I consumed it literally, in like a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So much I enjoyed
it. It's a short read.
I enjoyed it that much, where it was like one of those where I wanted the story after story after story. And I brought it in. I thought it'd be nice to put on the coffee table along with my book, one of my five.
You can put it on the coffee.
And I want you to sign it, though, so that, like,
do it again. Do it again. One shot. Oh, come on. Let's coordinate, guys.
There it is. I need that still shot.
Look at the back, though.
Actually, there are some great pictures in there, too. But I wanted to sign it so when I'm long gone, I can still prove to people
that I knew you.
Oh, we never know.
How do you want me to sign it?
What's your name?
Dear Han.
No, not dear.
What do you want me? How do you
dear.
Want me to say?
It's 1943.
What do you want me to say?
Dear.
Thank you for being a great colleague of mine. I like you. You like me. We work together at ESPN. You were like, what do you want me to say?
Just sign your name. I mean, how hard is
sound
that?
Effects?
Because if I just sign my name, you might
like
go
Kobe
put it on the
showed
second
you
market.
How to sign your name? That's all.
You might go sell it. I don't know.
What's wrong with that? Our society is.
I'm gonna sign it for you. You don't have a Sharpie, so I'll wait to do it
here.
But we're gonna put it on the coffee. I'm not even taking it home and leave it on the coffee table.
Hitting with the Sharpie.
Like you guys aren't represented. I got Jay's book. I'm working on that next, and it should
have anything to do with Jay's book.
I'm gonna pull it.
It should be on the damn table.
We're dealing with
mine. Who are these people? Who are these books that we got other than mine?
You're off mic. I'm gonna pull a page out of my journal to contribute. Just so y'all know.
But prior to us getting to sports, I'm gonna just tell you something about my weekend real quick.
Okay. Rant time.
Since I've been gone, no, real talk though. One of the reasons I have a problem with New York and stuff like that.
Oh, here we go.
Is the traffic is ridiculous. Like the traffic cops and the police and all that, they cool.
Welcome back, Captain Obvious.
But seriously, I went through the tunnel coming from Jersey yesterday, got all the way to the bridge in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. You came from Jersey.
Holland Tunnel.
Across town.
Yes.
Got to the bridge, which is
like a block.
A few miles
a
from
A block
here.
From the bridge.
From the bridge.
Yes.
So you got all the way across
off
town.
Of Chambers, like literally right there.
Okay, and then?
They turned me around, made me go all the way back to the damn West Side Highway, all the way across, back around, I forgot what street, to get across Broadway, to get to the FDR.
What was going on the bridge?
It was a parade in the middle of the city, in the middle of the day. And I had to go all the way around. It took me about an hour and 20 minutes to get back to the Brooklyn Bridge when I was already right there.
You didn't roll down your window and say, I'm Keyshawn?
No, I wasn't. I just rolled with the traffic. I wasn't really tripping. My whole point real quick, though, is why would you have me go a block to the bridge to turn me around?
Right, that part didn't make sense.
Like, it don't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, when I got off the damn tunnel, you should have simply said, hey, you can't go that way, sir, by cones. By the people in the street doing the whole sign. No.
No.
They let everybody go that way to turn us around to send us back the other way. I had stuff to do.
What is your rant window? How long are we going to hear about this?
No, we're done.
No, it's not even. It's just it's just ridiculous, though. And Han always talking about people hating on New York.
Hey, it was a parade for the first responders.
That's cool. I respect all that. That's good. First responders get their parade. That's cool. Yay. But you just wasted an hour and a half of my time. Because you don't know how to navigate the traffic flow in the city. It has nothing to do with the first responders. It has something to do with the traffic control.
Yeah.
Whoever is controlling the damn traffic. Whoever sits there on a map saying we should do it this way.
This is how we should lay it out.
Right.
Well, that would be incompetence.
Damn stupid.
Which we have an abundance of with the city. If you've ever paid attention to just how the roads are laid out to begin with, I can go an hour about the Cross Bronx Expressway and the Major Deegan and what that whole fiasco is about. But we won't do that because it is time to start the day by talking about the NBA Finals. And we are headed for Game 2 tonight. Start the day brought to you by Indeed. Hiring Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. So talk to me, Key, about what you've seen so far. Game one from the Suns and the Bucks, and, you know, we did our irrational takes after one game, and Monica believes the Bucks are better without Giannis, and I feel like the series is over.
I don't know that the Bucks are better without their star player, even though Brook Lopez a couple games ago had a phenomenal playoff run for that particular game. I don't know that that can be on a continuous basis, right? You got a star player. Look, in when you say what about the game, the three-headed monster. I mean, DeAndre Ayton bored city. He was cleaning the board with Windex.
Right?
Yes. I mean, all day long. Then you got young Book knowing how to cook, and then you got Chris Paul, the veteran player that just knows how to play NBA basketball. When you don't necessarily have that on the other side with the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's one of the problems. They certainly would be a better team if Giannis was 100% healthy. Hats off to him getting out there and playing. There's no question about it, and gutting it out. You always want to see star players or players in general when something happens to them at the level it happened to him, because that looked like something that could have been really, really bad.
Even he said it. Even he thought he was going to be gone for a year, and the fact that he was back and able to play, you know, that was, again, tip your cap, and that was impressive. And you like to see it at this level, at this point, and, of course, from a guy who's getting the Supermax, whatever it takes, I want to be out there for my team.
But and it's also one game, and it's also Phoenix at home. You know, they're playing
the momentum
at home
of the crowd. I completely understand. But, Monica, what you were talking about, though, when it comes to Giannis returning to the lineup, the Bucks did look different than they did. Jrue Holiday wasn't the same guy. Brook Lopez, obviously, again, in the pick and roll. Things were different with that team. So when you say when he's out there, they're a different team, is it necessarily are they a better team? Or did they show us something in those games they played without him?
I want to clarify, because I think he might have missed it. Those were our irrational.
Irrational.
Yes. Irrational takes. They are absolutely a better team with Giannis. Let's not do that. However, they are a noticeably different group in terms of what they can and cannot do. It's interesting, Keith, that you talk about Giannis being 100%. And we'll see. I think the quick turnaround from games one to two will reveal a lot in terms of what that knee really feels like for him. But he did have 20 and 17, and I wouldn't call them empty stats. I think what we saw is the Phoenix Suns take the first punch and connect. Like, the Bucks just got hit in the mouth early, and they never really recovered. Because I actually thought Giannis looked solid. I think in the second half, you could see that he was, you know, rhythm was a little bit off, you know, missed some games, stamina, and maybe that knee was getting a little bit gimpy. But I don't know if, like, I was thinking last night about strategies, right? They're not going to be able to flat out stop this pick and roll. You hope to contain it, to make it a little less easy, right?
You can't give up 118 points. Right. They don't miss free throws, you can't foul them.
So, okay, but there's a couple things simply for me on the Bucks. That the Bucks can adjust offensively. They only shot 16 free throws compared to what? 20 or 34 rather for the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. So free throws to me is a measure of aggressiveness. So they got to look to get some second chance opportunities. They got to own the glass, easy points in the paint. They want to get to the free throw line, see the ball go through the rim, right? But when I think of Brook Lopez in particular, if you're going to feature him, especially in those moments where Giannis is out, you make it worth him being on the floor if he's being effective on the glass and if he's scoring offensively. I think you live with maybe that mismatch in the pick and roll, if he can do those things for
you. Well, I don't know that he could be effective on the floor with Ayton out there, though, because he don't have the same lift.
But as much as we loved Brook Lopez going back to traditional basketball and getting in the paint, he shot 37% from three during the regular season. So let's not completely forget that pick and pop, because DeAndre's not coming all the way out there. He's going to contest some, but there's still versatility to Lopez's game if you decide to feature him.
Yeah, but in terms of the pick and pop and him knocking down the three, 37%, can he be consistent in the playoffs, though? Yeah, 37% in the regular season. How about right now in the finals? That's the key.
That's fair, but I'm saying – I think he's still shooting mid-30s in the – I'm going to look it up – in the postseason.
Playoffs, yes.
In the playoffs, excuse me. I'm saying if you go to Lopez – we're trying to figure out how to keep Lopez on the floor. So let's not forget about that part of his game is what I'm saying.
It's the defense that's the issue, because Lopez obviously can stretch or he can post up, which is what he showed us when Giannis wasn't out there. That's
right.
As a team.
Switching was the issue. We'll see if they adjust. That's been the question, of course, about Mike Budenholzer, is the adjustments, and we'll see if they can make that adjustment
in
game two.
NBA
Finals on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Game two, Suns host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Jay Will's going to join us later on in the show, go deeper into game
two. Wake up, Jay!
Tonight. Meanwhile, coming up, somebody has been listening to what Keith thinks about one of the NFL's Future stars. Swagger jacking happening all the time. We'll explain next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, and of course, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Michael is in Queens. Michael, what's up, man?
You guys are great. It's the greatest morning show. I got a ton of options in the tri-state area.
Say it again.
You guys are intelligent, intuitive, and just plain fun.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Very solid career.
Yes. Very solid. I'll take that. Key. Run it back.
Give Jay, me loved you. Just fantastic. Key, solid career.
I take solid all day long, man. Run it back. Give me 11 years, several Pro Bowls.
I legit think solid is underrated as a compliment. But, of course, obviously, that was
Super Bowl champion.
I'll tell you what, solid with his takes. Solid the thing is that he's just so early with them that we forget. And then they come back later and he's like, I said that.
Visionary.
Yeah, we forgot you said it.
I see it.
So with that in mind, let's talk some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because – Monica, we were talking to Mike Tannenbaum, and he had what I call, this was oven mitts, bring them out, right? This was one of those it's a hot one. And I did not know that Key had kind of suggested this a while back. So first, let's hear from Mike T, and then let Key respond to it. About quarterback draft from 2 years ago, where Joe Burrow went number one, and Mike T says the Bengals might regret that.
Joe Burrow had incredible production. His production would have been good, probably even better. But when we measure competitiveness in the NFL and sort of that pre-draft cycle, he went down to Mobile. He was the best player there. He was the MVP of the Senior Bowl. He went to the Combine. He was the only one of the premier quarterbacks to work out there. And then he had another workout where he also was exceptional. So he checked every box. So to me, when you look at it objectively or subjectively, Justin Herbert was the best player. And I think sometimes we have a little bit of an East Coast bias, meaning that a lot of the evaluations are when you watch college football, that's where the media sort of gets involved. And when you are a great player on the West Coast, you just don't get the coverage that other players get when you're in the SEC or the Big Ten. And he, to me, is going to be the next great superstar in the NFL. I think he's a tick below Patrick Mahomes. But beyond that, wow. I think Justin Herbert has superstar written all over him.
A tick below Mahomes. But, you know, when does anybody from the Pac-12 or Pac-10 go number one overall?
We've had a couple.
I'm looking at one.
Jared Goff.
What do you think of that, though?
Edmonds. I can go on and on and on. But Keyshawn Johnson.
What do you think of that, the idea that Herbert really was the better quarterback even coming into the draft, but Burrow had so much hype around him and obviously the success that he had at LSU that – it was just obvious. I also think Cincinnati looked at it as a guy from their area, from Ohio. That also made sense, too. Will they regret this pick, though?
I don't necessarily know that they would regret it, but I want to go back to what you originally said.
Go ahead.
You know, I said that a while ago. That's nothing new. And me and Mike, we both know a whole lot of football, so we're smart in that aspect of things.
Did you say this after the draft, or did you say this more recently? After
no, this Herbert's was, rookie year? This was – this was his sophomore junior year And then as I started to get closer to the draft, we were talking about it out in Los Angeles. I was on SportsCenter. I've been on other shows, NFL Live. And so just having a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to make sure that I got my points for that, Monica.
All your points. Ding, ding, ding.
They won't necessarily regret it. I do think, though, Justin Herbert is the better of the two. I've always felt that way. And I've had a chance, being out on the West Coast, I've had a chance to see Justin Herbert several times up close in person. It didn't take me to go to the Senior Bowl to see him perform. And every evaluator is different. Some people got to do a million tape sessions and dive into special reports and look at him in his eyes and ask him, what's his favorite popcorn? All that, you know,
popcorn.
The flavor. You know, they got to ask you because they ask some silly.
So annoying.
Man, they be asking some silly, some silly ass questions. So, for me, I've seen him play several times up close in person. Mm-hmm. The last time I saw him play was against Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, and I watched him. I stood on the sideline in the entire game, and I watched him, and I said, "That's the best quarterback in college football right there." I don't give a damn what they talking about with all the LSU hype and the throwing the ball to five receivers that's going to play on Sundays. Justin Herbert was throwing the ball to us three.
So
I'm talking about right now. We couldn't play dead in the Cowboy movie. That's the type of guys that he was throwing the ball to. Those receivers, I don't think one of those guys will play on Sunday that he was throwing the ball to.
So
you were seeing it, and by the way, that was Straight Talk, right? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So you were seeing it that way instead of seeing the stats, the results, the numbers.
I don't care about that.
You were looking at what he was doing physically that told you from your experience, that guy's got it.
Man, he had the size. He was big as hell. So I had a chance. So I went to the Arizona State game in Tempe, watched him get basically handled by Antonio Pierce and Marvin Lewis. But this was the first time he was facing an NFL mentality with Herm Edwards now. They got after him. They really did. But I didn't walk away from that saying, that guy can't play. I walked away from it saying, he'll learn because this is his first time seeing something like that. Them dudes are pros. He's a high school kid turned college. He's never seen that before, Monica.
Right. To your point on the receivers, it looks like his best receiver was Dylan Mitchell, who had 1,100 receiving yards that year and led the Pac-12. But other than that,
solid year.
None of these.
But where
names,
is Dylan Mitchell
was,
at now?
I was going to say that. I don't know exactly where he is now.
That's
and
the question.
None of these other names really resonate. So
yeah, Michael Pittman Jr. is a kid. Michael Pittman.
I think I could have caught the football.
Not Michael
from him,
Pittman.
You know who Burrow had.
Michael Pittman's brother.
We all know who he
had. Yeah, so when you look at it, it's a different situation. And yes, maybe there is a little bit of what Mike is saying in terms of East Coast bias and all that sort of stuff, but that's their fault for not doing their proper evaluation of who Justin Herbert really is.
I still think for the Bengals, it was the pick to make on for many levels, and they could both end up being stars.
It's not even about the Bengals as much as it is about how do you go from here to there in a heartbeat because somebody has an exceptional senior year.
Right.
If a guy is a star and he can play, he can play. He can play. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. You saw that clearly with Justin Herbert taking over after Tyrod Taylor had a punctured lung. And then he goes on, and this goes to Mike's conversation about a tick under Patrick Mahomes, because I'm sure y'all said, and I don't know when he said this because I was gone,
Tuesday.
But I'm sure y'all sat there and was like, man, what the hell are you talking about?
Jay definitely was. Wait,
no wonder you working with us. I'm sure. I'm sure y'all said that.
Oh, my God. I didn't say that.
Mike's my guy. It's fine. Hey. You don't have to feel like we slight Mike. Because Mike is right. But he is a tick under Patrick Mahomes. Now, you would say, well, what does that mean? That means if you put him in that same position with all those weapons and tools, he may give you the same things. The difference is Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl already. So that gives you a little bit more.
Very high bar.
Not only that, he's been an MVP a couple times, on the verge of winning it a couple times. So now you look at that and you go, huh, that's not the same. But look at Justin Herbert's year last year. Just look at the year.
Set a record.
Yes.
And we might not have never known about him if that needle doesn't puncture Tyrod Taylor's lung.
And you're never going to give him the MVP votes or anything as a rookie on a team that's not winning at a high clip.
Yes, but you know what it makes, though? It makes for a player this year that you're like, all right, I need to see him do it. Second year, take it to the next level because you saw it as a rookie. And that's what makes it, you know, this year fun when it comes to a player like that. You want to see if, like, what we saw last year is the real thing.
But remember, real quick, I know. Yeah. But remember, I'll always say, when a guy starts off like this, you never, at quarterback, you never really see him go, bam. You see him either do this or even completely
out. The league eventually will figure out some stuff. All right. Speaking of which, so which NFL players would you say the jury is still out on for this coming season? Who has something still to prove to everyone? Key's got a great list of players that we are looking at next year, and we'll discuss after Monica has this from Goodyear.
Goodyear knows when the playoffs heat up, so do the possibilities. The underdogs begin to emerge, and top seeds are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to build up to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
Now you're starting with a new quarterback. We all assume it's Jameis Winston.
I think because the type of offense in which they run it in New Orleans, I think he's in the perfect situation.
Going to beat out Taysom Hill. That's what we assume.
But I think Jameis becomes the starter of this team.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Seconds left. Coleman looking to grab it. Dano trying to center it. Knocking it away. Getting on. He clears it. He clears it. I don't think this is going to be an icing. No. 3 seconds left. Petrie, a final shot. The Lightning have done it. They have done it.
They have gone
back to back for the second year in a row.
Wow.
They have won the Stanley Cup.
Excitement in Tampa again. The City of Champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. A 1-0 victory over the Montreal Canadiens in Game 5 last night. Tampa, the first team to repeat as Stanley Cup champions since the Pittsburgh Penguins did it in 2016 and 2017. They are the fourth to do so in the last 30 years. To the Euro 2020 final we go as England defeats Denmark 2-1 in extra time to head to the final against Italy. It's their first time in the European final and their first major tournament final since the 1966 World Cup. Again, they will face Italy on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch it on ESPN. Game 2 of the NBA Finals is tonight between the Bucks and the Suns. Now, the Suns took Game 1 Tuesday, and they are looking to go up 2-0. If they do, historically, teams that take a 2-0 lead, they win the series 89% of the time. Coverage of tonight's game begins at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio. SportsCenter brought to you by Nature Valley. We bring the energy to your mornings, but sometimes the commute and those early meetings wear you out. When that happens, grab a Nature Valley granola bar and head outside for a quick mid-morning break to experience the energizing power of nature. Training camp is in 13 days. At least the first two ones that open up are in 13 days. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Monica McNutt with Key. Jay's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. And yes, road to training camp. So we talked about it. The jury is out on some players. It always is when you go into different seasons that we're still waiting to decide whether you are that guy or not. So Key, your top five, jury is out on these players.
The gavel.
I like it.
Number five.
Judge Judy or Judge Mathis? Or one of them. Some TV court.
Well, let's start at number five, as you heard right there from my good friend Yates. Jameis Winston, New Orleans Saints, right? He's a guy who has a opportunity to have a rebirth in his NFL career, a resurgence, so to speak. I think when you pair him with Sean Payton, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, the things that Drew Brees left behind, he has an opportunity to really, if he's the starter, because I'm presuming he's going to be the starter and hold off Taysom Hill, that he has an opportunity and a chance to prove to everyone that he belongs in the National Football League as a starting quarterback, given the fact he was booted out of Tampa after 30 interceptions and Lord knows how many total turnovers.
Former number one overall
booted.
Pick.
Booted.
Number four.
Number four. Surprised a lot of people. Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a guy who has a lot to prove. Because
the jury's out on Cam Newton?
There's so many haters out there
that
dislike Cam based on his performance last season, which was not a great one. Okay, they want to point to the 18 touchdowns. That's the first thing people say. 18 touchdowns? Well, yes. He didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. So what that means is they went out and they found people. They went out and got Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne. They went out and said, let's upgrade the tight end position. So he has a lot to prove, even though he's a former MVP in this league, took a team to a Super Bowl. This is now his second career. His second career starts this year for the New England Patriots. And if Cam Newton does not perform at the level in which the New England Patriots anticipate him to, he will be working with us very soon.
Oh, my goodness.
Next up, mac and cheese.
Well, I don't know.
Number
about
three.
That. Number three, Jonah Williams, the left tackle of Cincinnati Bengals. Big stud, can play the position. And the reason he's on this list is because he needs to solidify that backside protection for a quarterback that was drafted in the first round overall pick in Joe Burrow, who was injured last year. And a lot of that hits that he took was because of the offensive line. They passed on a future potential Hall of Famer. Some compared him to Anthony Munoz and Penei Sewell, who got drafted later on because they decided to go with Ja'Marr Chase, the team, a former teammate of Joe Burrow. So now you're dealing with a different situation. This is why, to me, it's a prove a year for Jonah Williams.
Number two.
Number two, I hate to do it to him. Henry Ruggs, wide receiver out of Las Vegas. I got to get Oakland out of my mind when it comes to the Raiders. They've been in Las Vegas a couple years now. Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. He's got to step up to the plate. Whenever you take a receiver this high, he's got to show you more than deep ball production. He's got to be the guy. They didn't go out and get a bona fide veteran wide receiver. He's the number one guy for them. High pick, little production his rookie year. It's time for him to step up if him and Carr plan on figuring out how to get to the playoffs in John Gruden's fourth year.
Number one.
And number one is Tua, Miami Dolphins. Yeah. This team is poised to make a playoff run. It's all on him. No more excuses. The hip is healed now. There's players they've drafted. Jalen Waddle, former teammate Alabama. They went out and got Will Fuller from the Houston Texans. We know what they have in Parker at the receiver position. Pretty good tight end. Solid running game. Defense is good. It's all on the quarterback spot. Those three or four games last year where he was removed from, that can't happen this year because they have been flirting in the offseason with potential replacements, starting with Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
That's a terrific list, and every
and
single
guy. And I'm sure
guy,
there's a bunch of people I'm missing.
There is more. Actually, I got a couple of names to throw at you, but before I do, there's a couple here I want to follow up on. Number one, quickly on Ruggs, because that's a name that definitely jumped out at me as one of those guys where it's like, was that a good pick? We still need to find out, because there's talent there, but you would know that position better than anybody. How does he take it? You said more than just a stretch-the-field guy. What does he have to do to take it to that next level and be more of that big target that they can look for down after down?
Well, he's not a huge
right. He's not a big
player,
guy. I meant big target.
But that's
target.
Okay. It's all about John Gruden putting him in the right positions to succeed. He can't be a one-trick pony. And sometimes
right, coaches, is that on him? Does he not have that skill set to do more
well,
than some, just
I was
going to
say, sometimes, Alan, coaches will pigeonhole you as a one-trick pony just okay. because that's just their mindset. They go into it saying, oh, we drafted this guy to be the guy to lift the coverage so others can come underneath and catch the ball. And they don't really expand their thought process about what you can do.
But it's up to him to show them. And that's
well,
what
no,
your offseason's about,
it's
isn't
it?
It's
up to them to trust that he can do.
Yeah.
And I go back to my
but that's
own,
what minicamp's for.
Which, well, that's
right?
what mini – that's
right?
Well, not
mini
necessarily.
Minicamp is there to say, well, I've been working camp, on this. Look what I can
training
do.
Training camp, preseason, yeah. and understanding who you drafted. I go back to my own – Monica, I go back to my own experience mm-hmm. in the National Football League. When I first got Bill Parcells, the people were trying to tell Bill and Todd Haley and Dan Henning and Charlie Weiss I was this. Mm-hmm. They was like, nah. And Dan Henning, to his credit, said, Keyshawn can run reverses. They wouldn't let me run a reverse to save my life. They kept giving it to the little guy, the little speedy guy, Dietrich Ward. And they kept saying Dietrich can do it because little guys, they did. I was like, just yeah. let me, first time I touched the house call. No, seriously, against the Carolina Panthers. First time I touched it, house call. And the rest was history. And at that point, nobody else touched reverses except me.
Monica, you and I talked about Jameis Winston earlier yes. this week and about what he has to prove. I find that to be an interesting name on this list, too.
Jameis is definitely the one that I was going to kind of sort of key in on. Because, I mean, of all of these guys, is there a world in which you see the Saints actually going to Taysom? Like, in terms of a guy that's right on his heels, like, you don't have time to play around, too, not in addition to the
Well, I think what has to happen for Jameis is he has to continue to play the way he was playing, doing mop-up duty, spot duty, when he took over in a short when he replaced Drew Brees for that short stint in the game against San Francisco. You've got to see what he is. Mm-hmm. If he goes out there and he's throwing the ball to the other team, then I'm going with somebody else. But
sure.
I don't believe in my mind, in my heart, that Sean Payton will put him in a position to trick it off. He's only going to put him in a position to succeed. That's what coaches like that do. They make sure you're going to be successful when you have talent. Okay. There's a lot of coaches in the National Football League, they just call plays. They just think that they're so smart and innovative that they're going to call a play and not understand your strengths and weaknesses. Jameis Winston's strengths is not throwing the ball 70 times a damn game. Mm-hmm. That's not his strength. Mm-hmm. His strength is managing the game, making a few plays here and there, not giving him too much on his plate. And I think Sean understands that, and Sean likes that. Now, he'll never come out and say it. I can speak for him because I kind of know the way he thinks.
And it's the no risk it, no biscuit thing with,
risk
with Jameis
it, no biscuit.
Is not really the best thing. It's dial it back. That's what's important.
Are you getting into this other option?
Yeah, like yeah. Okay, I want to throw some names out there, but first want to mention again, Keyshawn J. Will Zubin. We've got Dan Orlovsky going to join us later on.
Dan.
We'll go over more of this stuff with him. He'll be joining us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Dan in a while.
But yeah, there's other names. A lot of them are quarterbacks when it comes to, right, Monica, when it comes to the jury still out. And I mean, is it crazy to say maybe Baker Mayfield?
Okay, that's not the one to me that is most interesting.
The jury's
though.
Still not out. That's manufactured in fake news, man.
The jury is so have a verdict already on Baker Mayfield?
Man, he's a good quarterback. That's my verdict.
So
he's a damn good quarterback.
Okay. Same logic that you apply to Justin Herbert in terms of your eye test, like the numbers from last season, the step that the
squad
made.
So I guess you're asking me who would I rather have. Is that really what you're
I
asking
I wasn't,
me?
But sure, go there.
I'd rather have Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Because I don't think Baker Mayfield would ever be the MVP in the National Football League, but I think Justin Herbert will be eventually an MVP in the National Football League.
I like what you said about when quarterbacks start hot. Not that Baker started especially hot, but I think he's turning a corner. I'm with you in terms of him being solid. The most interesting name to me on this list is Jalen Hurts because he had that wonky rookie season. He's got a new coach, a new system. Not a ton is expected from this Eagle squad. Like, how do you gauge him?
I mean, Jalen Hurts has got a lot to prove. He's got a long ways to – and what I mean by this is he may not have a great year this year.
That's what I'm saying. So how are you judging it? How are you judging
it? I got a new head coach. I'm a full-time starter. I really don't have any playmakers I'm throwing the ball to. I don't have a whole lot. I'm in a bad situation. So judging him this year, I can't because I understand the situation that he's in. So anybody that thinks Jalen Hurts is supposed to take the Eagles to the playoffs, then they're delusional. And if he does do something like that, then there's nothing else to talk about.
If we're calling this like the jury out, right, and I'll say for Baker, you're saying verdict's in. When it comes to Jalen Hurts, I think I would say he hasn't made a case yet. Well, right, that's probably like the best way to put it.
But that's
he
what
has
I'm saying.
To first just, make a case before we can
have
go to the jury.
What he needs to make a case is what I'm saying. To Key, like
not,
this doesn't even seem fair.
Not all right. This year. People, because he's a starting quarterback, there's a conversation that comes up.
Okay.
But it's not a fair conversation.
The what rest about, of these guys seem to have
what about Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray, the jury is not out on Kyler Murray as much as it is on collectively the Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive style in which they like to play. That's that there is the conversation. Okay. The conversation isn't Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a good football player within this system. Mm-hmm. That and when I say that, it's perfect for what Arizona wants to do. If all of a sudden Kyler Murray is not going to play for the Rams. Kyler Murray's not going to play in New England.
So he's specific to the system.
He's specific to that system. That's why Cliff Kingsbury convinced Steve Kine, that the general manager, hey, we need to get rid of Josh Rosen, and I like Kyler Murray. And I'm sure he said, are you sure? And Cliff gave him the whole look with the house and everything and sat there and said, yes, I am sure we're going to win a lot of games with this guy. He's dynamic in that system.
Right.
If you take him out of that system – what is he? And I think from that standpoint, not so, his fault so, right, at all. It's not Kyler Murray's fault.
The jury,
that's just the system.
So the jury's out on he and like so Kyler and Cliff.
Kyler
as a,
Cliff
as a tandem.
The general manager, the team,
the whole jury's
thing.
Out
the
on
whole,
them.
Thing.
The whole Red Sea.
Yeah.
Can this offense win in the National Football League, not eight games? Meaning can you be in the NFC Championship game. Can you be in the division. Super Bowl?
And remember, they were one miraculous throw and really a big catch from having an abysmal losing streak. You think about that. That
Hail
one
Murray.
Amazing catch.
No, you said it that way. I'll say it a different way. They are one play away from the damn dude who's had lost his responsibility on the edge. If he stays on the edge and doesn't lose responsibility, Kyler Murray never gets outside of him to throw the ball.
Right.
He blew it. Kyler Murray took advantage of him blowing it, and so did D-Hop. And that you can't blame them for that. But if the defensive player of
the
Buffalo Bills
stay
on the edge in the pursuit, like I'm sure the coaches was telling him, he lost his responsibility, and that's why they lost the game.
What's that little mouse cartoon that runs around real fast? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Speedy Gonzalez?
Not Speedy. It's another one.
I
got to look it
up. That one.
But that's – I'm sorry. Don't look at me like that, but that's what that play always reminds me of. Like – dang, I got to look up his name. Okay, anyway.
You look that up. I'll throw another name. How about Carson Wentz? Jury out?
The jury is out because he got everything that he wanted, which is out of Philly, back with Frank Reich.
Fievel. Sorry.
No, I don't remember that one. But back with Frank Reich.
Disney.
Who we all think can get him turned around. He takes over a team that basically went toe-to-toe with Buffalo in the playoffs with Phillip Rivers at the quarterback spot. Now, can you get back to what made you the number two overall pick, what helped you lead a team to a Super Bowl, although you didn't play in the playoffs, you got hurt against the Rams in your ACL, but clearly you was headed in the right direction. Things fell apart in Philadelphia, whether it was mental or not, it fell apart. Can he get back to that in Indy? I think he can. A lot of people don't think he can, but I trust my former teammate in Frank Reich, who I think is a hell of a coach, can get him back. And now you're in a situation that's different. You feel better about yourself.
See, you said you went feel. Balance of wellness, Monica.
Balance of wellness.
For I think for Carson Wentz, it really has been neck up. It's never been physical for him, right? He always had physical ability. But when he lost confidence in what was happening in front of offensive line, never set his feet, couldn't get the right throws, he just never looked like the same guy when he got beat up a lot that year in Philly. And from there on, he looked like from here up was the bigger issue.
More than ever. And across sports, we're talking from here up. And so I buy that. I don't know if he's going to be Super Bowl team sort of. Yeah, most of the regular season he was healthy.
They're still a playoff team that's probably going to win the division.
Right. I don't know. So you put him back to, what was that, his second year? Whatever year that
I put him, whatever the best years were, the rookie year, second year.
Second year MVP.
In 2018, he was playing good midway through the season.
Yeah.
He was fine. Was it 18 or 19? 19. Yeah, 19.
He was an MVP, candidate before he got hurt.
He was doing well in 19. I think he's going to be fine. All right. I think he's good. People just don't like his attitude. He just, you know.
He hasn't had the best things to say to the media. All right, we got to go to New York real quick. Guy that
Let's get back to that.
What, attitude?
The New York stuff.
New York, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get back to that on this conversation.
What you mean, the traffic?
Yeah, the Keyshawn J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. So, you know, Cam Newton, you mentioned he's on the list, and that is also a I don't know if you're going to call it a quarterback battle, but there's been a lot of conversation about that. I agree. I know you waved your hand, and I agree with you. But never mind about the quarterback and who's throwing. It's who's receiving the football in New England. And Mike Reese has a report about N'Keal Harry that you saw that come out about how N'Keal Harry, his agent, saying, we're looking for a trade. Don't want to be here. Listen to what Reese says about the market that's out there right now for their second-year wide receiver.
There's a reason he was selected 32nd overall in the 2019 draft out of Arizona State. Is he showed some things on film that made him one of the top receiver prospects. For a number of reasons, it hasn't worked for him here. I mean, he got injured in his first training camp and then COVID last year. So in that sense, he had a lot of things working against him, but this is the NFL. Got to find a way to overcome it. Mm-hmm. I think the market, from my view, would be a team that had high grades on him coming out of Arizona State that would say, hey, look, maybe a change of scenery brings out the best in him, and maybe we have a player that is in the same situation for us that the Patriots view could make a difference in a change of scenery with them. And I think that would be the market, that type of situation.
One of the points that was made why the agent said they're looking for a trade is that in his first 2 years, they just noticed that he just wasn't getting the same amount of targets. And they don't think he's, it says N'Keal, they drafted a dominant downfield threat who was virtually unstoppable at the point of attack in college. And they feel like after conversations with the Patriots, it's best for both parties to move on from each other. As you mentioned, they added tight ends, they added wide receivers, veterans, all in free agency. Is this a guy that's just looking for a better opportunity, or is he? Does he have too high of an opinion of himself?
He should have a high opinion of himself.
Fair.
He should. Can he play in the National Football League?
He wants
league?
To be a number one, clearly.
Yeah, but he's not. He ain't no number one. Nah, he's just not.
Trajectory? I mean, can he get there?
He can be a good football player at that position in the National Football League. But he's not – okay, when you have that type of size that he has, and he can run when he gets going, but there's no sudden quickness to his game. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, one of the first things I tell him is you need to lose some weight. You're too damn big. He's too big. He needs to drop some weight. And he needs to get the type of training to get in and out of the breaks with sudden quickness, things like that. Every ball is contested. He said college football's agent, who's an agent, by the way, whatever.
Exactly.
Says he was a down-the-field dominant player in college football. Man, you're playing against 17-year-old kids. You're a senior. You're going to be dominant against a 17-year-old kid. But I also saw true freshmen like D'Amador Lenore and Thomas Graham at Oregon strap him down when they was only freshmen and sophomores. Strap him like Velcro. Couldn't get away from him. So you need to lower your expectations and understand, yes, maybe he's not getting the same targets because he's not getting open when he's on the field.
Separation issue.
The separation issue.
Yeah.
In the NFL, if you're not getting space, you better be something special.
Right.
You know, because space is only this much in the National Football League. And if you can't get that much, then that's what it is. I understand people had high grades on him, high point, red zone target, all of those sort of things like Mike Reese said. But when a guy doesn't show up at the 32nd pick in the draft, that's a high pick.
So
when you are a top 50 pick, that's a high pick,
yeah,
man.
Of course.
It ain't all about the top 32.
Is it more of a concern that he wants out of there? Like, is there a red flag? Would you trade for him?
He's going to get cut if he don't get traded.
Would you trade for him?
Yeah, I give up a pack of Now later's in a carton of cigarettes and maybe a six pack.
It's weird. It
so
is.
You take them on, but you're not really.
No, I'm not investing. I'm not getting ready to give you my draft.
I will say it's weird because it seems like that organization is notorious for finding gems. So if you couldn't get it done up there.
Well, they struggled finding receivers in the draft.
Yeah.
Fair
enough. Receivers in the draft.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell Belichick be doing.
He should call you. Should check with you.
Consulting. Hey,
you know the college game, especially you know wide receivers. You also know quarterbacks and you know who can throw. And you know, we all know Aaron Rodgers can throw. You know what else we know? We're sick and tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers. But
Aaron
we will.
Damn Rodgers, that is.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.